Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Net at Night is brought to you by AOL Radio at AOL.com/podcasting. This is Net at Night with Amber MacArthur and Leo Laporte. Episode 54 for May 27th, 2008. The Twins. Net at Night is brought to you by Audible. For your free audiobook and a whole lot more, visit audible.com/night, N-I-G-H-T. And by listeners like you. Thanks for your donations.
Let's say hello to Amber Mack. What do you say?
Hello, Leo.
Hello, Amber Mack. How are you today?
I'm just laughing because every single time that you call and I just tell you to call, I jump. Who's calling me at a time like this?
Who could call? Who would be calling me?
Leo, now it's so funny when I'm like, I haven't heard from Leo. And then I see that you're on twitlive.com. And I'm like, there he is. I know he's around. This is a good sign.
Yeah, everybody's so, you know, saying that now. They say, well, at least we know you didn't pass out.
Not that I'm worried about your health, but no, I'm just kidding.
He didn't have a heart attack anyway.
Yeah, so I'm camera free this week because I just don't trust the bandwidth here. But next week I'll be back in my studio in Toronto and I like doing it live on camera.
And next week we should have the TriCaster so that I'll be able to put you box in box and stuff like that. That'll make a big difference, I think.
Leo, your video quality
isn't
looks
it great?
Phenomenal.
Isn't it amazing? Tom Green is as good as Tom Green.
I think it's better. I just stare at you all day long. No, I'm just joking. That was so creepy.
I'm scared now. No, I'm really pleased with the quality that we're getting. And the truth is it could be even higher quality, but I don't want to leave people out. So we're sending only kind of a medium quality stream. But the point is that Flash Media Encoder allows you to do really high quality. And the 16:9, I think, makes a big difference, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
It's
actually
psychological because it's not high def, but you feel like it's higher quality.
Well, that's the same with Command N. We started shooting in 16:9 and everybody thinks we went high def and we haven't. We're planning to, but we haven't gone high def yet. But it just looks better.
You don't really want to go high def, to be honest with you. It's a lot of people can't watch it.
Yeah.
I'm taking a deep breath and relaxing. So are you better at relaxing now that you're working with Mr. Robbins?
No.
He's not exactly about relaxation, is he?
No, it's not as though I'm with some yoga enthusiast or anything. But
he's got to be the hardest working guy in history.
I think he is. Yeah. Actually, it's unbelievable.
I didn't know that he owns Fiji Water.
Yeah, I know. He does, right? That's what I heard as well. Yeah,
he's got like a million businesses. This guy.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
You know these people who have so many businesses and are so successful? Sometimes I just look at them and I think, this is, how do they do it? How do they manage that every single day? Like, I think that I'm pretty ambitious, but at the end of the day, that there's just so many people out there who are doing so much more.
You know, I think part of it is you and I are too ADD to really be effective. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I've been with my brother all week and he's like, oh my gosh, you can't sit still for like 5 minutes.
We don't have that laser-like focus. I mean, we could focus. It's not that we can't focus, but there's too many things. There's too many wonderful things in the world.
Yeah. It's
and we don't want to limit ourselves. I've been in a couple of startups. CNET was one of them. I was the third employee of CNET. Now that they're being sold for $1.8 billion, I'm kind of thinking, where's that equity I was promised?
Hmm.
Yeah. But and then another was a company that is now later became Macromedia. So that's another, you know, multi-million fortune that I've lost. But in both cases, the problem was I wasn't interested in being in business. I'm a performer and I can't focus. It's not fun.
Yeah, exactly.
So
exactly.
I was like the VP marketing for this company. It was Paracomp that later became Macromedia, and a great guy that started it, and you know, really nice people. And it was a startup, and it was great fun. This was when I turned 30. I said, you know, I shouldn't be a DJ anymore. I should have a grown-up job. And he came along and he loved me. He said, let me offer you this gig and we'll give you equity and everything. And I found myself standing up and doing 10 minutes, you know, like doing bits. It wasn't enough for me. And finally, I just quit. I said, I can't. I went back to radio. I said, I can't do this. I'm a performer. So yeah. I think that that's the problem. What's good, if you're a good performer, you can make a lot of money. But usually in the past, you had to be, you know, you had to have a Svengali. You had to have somebody manage you and manage your career. And then when you get to be big enough, like Johnny Carson or something, then you kind of manage yourself. So we're very fortunate because we get to create our own medium for ourselves.
Exactly. And I like it.
Yeah. I mean, you're so young. I don't know if you or a lot of the people watching have any idea of what it used to be like, because the opportunities are so great now for anybody who wants to be a performer. I mean, it really is a great time.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a great time, even, you know, especially to be someone who performs and who wants to be independent. It's an amazing time. You know, there's right. just so many opportunities out there. I was watching CNN the other day with my parents, and my parents said, you know, Amber, we always thought one day you would want to go and be an anchor. And, you know, and I said, I could not sit and read an hour of the news, you know, just news that someone else had written for more than a day or two. There's no way I could do it. Like, just that lifestyle, I could never, like, just sit there and read all day. There's no way I could do it. Even though it sounds glamorous, it's right. so not my personality.
Right, right. It isn't glamorous. You know that.
Yeah, I do know that from doing news.
It's glamorous on the other side of the glass, but on this side of the glass, there's no glamour at all.
No.
You know, I've done that. It's, you know what's fun is being at the center of the storm. I was talking about this earlier before you came on, about the thought that at some point, some big news story is going to happen, something that's so consuming, like 9/11 or an earthquake or the presidential election, something that's so consuming that nobody wants to talk about tech. They want to talk about that. And what we did on Tech TV at 9/11 was we could have turned off our cameras and said, OK, we know you're watching the news. But we realized we had a community that wanted to grieve with us as part of the community. So we kept the cameras going and we made it, you know, a special show. We began the screensavers by lighting candles and talking about it. And it was really moving. And we heard back from the audience, this is what I wanted. I wanted to be with my community, my extended family, in this time of grief. I didn't want to sit and watch the news. So I thought, you know, that's probably what's at some point, something's going to happen that people will say, oh, I don't want to watch Twit live. I want to watch the news. But we are a community. And so I think that this would be an opportunity for us to all be together. So in a way, I've created this kind of eye of the storm sensation here, right? But it's the geek storm.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I actually looked up to see if there was any footage online of when you guys did cover 9/11 on Tech TV, because I'm a huge fan, obviously, of you, but also of Erica Hill. And I know that's how she kind of got her start, I think. I couldn't find anything anywhere, but I was digging around.
Too bad. It was live. And no, in fact, I remember going in that morning. It happened at 6 a.m. Pacific time. Actually, a little earlier, but I think the world learned around 6 a.m. And I remember I was at the gym, and I came into work, and we were doing Tech Live then, so it was a news shift. So I came around at 10 a.m., and Eric and I anchored the coverage that morning. And I remember very well, at one point, it was just so emotional for her. She actually had to get up and leave the set during a commercial and compose herself. It was so emotional. But she was from New York. She knew a lot of people in that building. It was a very difficult thing for her to do. And you're right. I don't think she didn't get her start in that sense, but that was, I think, probably for her a very important moment in her career. And of course, now she's working with Anderson Cooper on CNN, and she's doing great. She is so talented.
She's so good. I just adore her.
You would
I think
love
she's
her
wonderful.
In person. You would adore her. And she married Dave Yount, who was our floor director. He was the best floor director I've ever worked with. First of all, because he had this big booming voice. And he would say, in 1, 5, 3, 2. And he would, he was great floor director and a wonderful guy.
Oh, that's awesome.
So this, in case you've just tuned in, is us talking about life and times and the internet, too. I'm Leo Laporte from San Francisco.
And I'm Amber MacArthur from Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island, Canada.
Ah, yeah. I love that. I love that. I'm not really from San Francisco, but it's, you know, close enough.
Petaluma's way cooler than San Francisco. Leo.
Yeah. Pretty soon. I hope someday people will say San Francisco is that little suburb south of Petaluma. No, yeah. I don't know what to say.
Sure.
I'm doing what I can to make Petaluma be kind of the center of attraction here.
You're doing a great job, Leo, and I tune into you at twitlive.com all the time just to make sure you're still alive and kicking.
You're kidding me. Really?
I love it because the video quality is so good, and for some reason it's more entertaining than even turning on the TV.
I think for a certain category of geek, and it's a small group because there's only about 2,000 people, but I think for a certain category of geek, this is fun. And what it's really about is that thing, community, again. It's about hanging with your buds, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I mean, that's the thing. I can tune in and you're talking to Steve Gibson,
right,
or you're doing the Daily Gizwiz.
Right.
And, most of us know all of those people.
Right.
And so it becomes kind of fun because it is just this tight-knit little community. So it's entertaining. I look in the comments, see what people are saying, see what you're wearing, eating, whatever, stalkerish kind of.
Well, I was talking earlier because one of the things I'm trying to decide is, I'm doing 5 hours a day, 5 days a week. Can I do a show, showbiz show for the whole 5 hours? Or is it sometimes it's just going to have to be me looking at my email or, pausing for a moment to go to the bathroom? And there's no commercials. There's no break. So I don't know. I guess it's going to be one of the charms of it. It's not going to be a production. It's just going to be us talking, right? I do hope I'll have some video and stuff to play during my bathroom breaks, however.
I hope you take bathroom breaks.
I have to. Life goes on. Hey, I wanted to show you, though, this is part of the fun part of it. So Louis Rossetto, who runs Wired Magazine, started Wired Magazine. I told you he sent us some chocolate, some TCHO chocolate. I mentioned that, right? And I ate it on the air and I talked about it with you. And so I get an email. Did I tell you about Amano? Did I tell you these guys sent me some more chocolate?
It sounds weird. You know what's weird? I've been getting a lot of chocolate too, but anyway, continue.
I know you're a chocolateholic, and I wish you were here. You were going to come next week, and I was saving this for you, but I guess I won't now.
I know. I can't come, but I will be back
soon.
It's just postponed.
So this is, they make artisan chocolate. There's a bar from Madagascar, and which this is all dark chocolate. You would love this. Do you like dark or milk?
Dark chocolate.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And then so Madagascar, so they do it like wine from this is the vintage. This is a Madagascar, and this is Cuyagua. Highly prized Cuyagua cocoa beans, gently roasted, then stone ground, creating exceptional single origin chocolate. This is like, like single malt whiskeys. Cuyagua is a home to chocolate plantations dating to the early 1700s at some of Venezuela's finest cocoa.
Ooh, yum.
So just to make you jealous.
Is that what you were saying when you said you were getting fat?
Yeah. They keep sending me chocolate.
That's so funny. It's so strange, Leo, because literally I have received so much. Well, I don't want to say so much, but quite a large quantity of chocolate.
People know you love it.
Yeah, from different fans. I just got an email today that there was more chocolate that just arrived from New Zealand. I've gotten chocolate from the UK. It's the craziest
Isn't that
thing.
Sweet?
So. I love it. So my little fridge at the office is just filled with chocolate.
Well, I'm now going to try some Acumare. On the central coast of Venezuela is a remote valley. I should do this like Orson Welles. Known as Acumare de la Costa. Once almost totally inaccessible, the Acumare region has been known for its superior Criollo cacao since at least the early 1700s. We hand-selected these beans for their fruity and floral notes that pair well with the rich chocolate flavor. Oh, wow. I'm going to have some.
Wow, so, I don't think you need more chocolate.
You're probably right. So I will save some for you when you come out, okay?
Thank you, Leo.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I don't know when you're coming out, so hurry, because I don't know how long I could save.
As soon as you get your, is it your TriCaster? Is that what it's called?
Well, the TriCaster's here. It's sitting right next to me. We're waiting for version 2 of the software. And it's true. I don't want you to come here until I can, switch back and forth. And the TriCaster is so cool. For all I know, I could send chocolate down the line. I don't know.
You should try
it. We'll see. So we've got a guest, actually two guests coming up in a little bit.
Yeah, we sure do. We mentioned last week that we were going to have some people on from Intense Debate, and we have Tom Kelly and John Fox who are joining us tonight, and that's another commenting system. So last week we were talking with some guests as well about commenting and
discus,
a new way
yeah.
to do it online.
Yeah.
And so they're going to join us, and they are, I think, pretty much a competitor to Discus. And they
discuss.
Are gonna
I'm supposed to say discuss.
Sorry, I know yeah. I just did the same thing.
Discuss.
And we're going to get their take on maybe
Good.
What they do the same, what they do better.
Good. Yeah. I think this is really an interesting, as we mentioned last week, take on the notion of blog comments, taking it instead of being a vertical thing where it's only part of one blog, spreading it horizontally so that as a commenter, you have your own kind of following and people could follow you from blog to blog and see what you post, subscribe to your feed even of your blog posts. This is very interesting. Intense Debate coming up in a little bit. But before we do that,
we have a lot of links.
Let's get some
Okay, so these are they're kind of random today. I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm in a different province in Canada and I've gone crazy because my brother's twins are here and they're
Woo-hoo!
Only 4 months and they're screaming. And But we have a few different links. Now, the first one I'm mentioning, I don't know if you've seen this, but the reason I bring it up is because a couple of days ago, I think I got 5 emails within yeah. 2 minutes telling me about this video. Weezer, which is a band, their new video, Pork and Beans, is causing a huge frenzy online because they're using all of these stars from YouTube. And so they've put out this song, Pork and Beans, and it has a few million views already on YouTube. And the video is, it's definitely a lot of fun. It uses everyone from I think the Numa Numa Kid to Leave Britney Alone and a whole cast of characters.
Now, you know, Patrick Wilson, who is the drummer and one of the founding members of the band, is a big geek and has been on Mac Break Weekly.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he's great. We love Patrick. In fact, he's on Twitter. You can follow him on Twitter as Patrick Wilson. So I knew that he was kind of into this. And it's my sense that the rest of the band wasn't that much into it. So I think this, you got to give some credit to Patrick Wilson. Let me play a little bit of this. It's called Pork and Beans. This is the official video. And you saying that these people are the actual internet memes, or are they people? Are they some of them seem like they're Weezer dressed up as the internet memes?
Some of them are, but they know that the ones who are the actual internet stars are the actual internet.
So
stars.
Numa Numa Kid is definitely Numa Numa Kid.
Yeah, it's definitely all them.
Well, let me play a little bit of this. There's a guy looking into his webcam, sitting down YouTube style, plugging into the computer. He's going to start playing the song. There's Patrick on the drums. Rivers Cuomo singing, and there's Numa Numa Kid, dramatic hamster, nunchuck guy. I love this. But they're reenacting these, right? I mean, these aren't the actual original videos. That's what's kind of funny about it.
They're reenacting them. So I don't know. You know, I did a little bit of research. So I found this blog posting that talked about the company or the production company who actually made the video. And as far as I can tell, they contacted all these people and got them to lip sync parts
of the
song.
Why wouldn't they? And they got the Mentos guys. This is experiment number 711. And he's got the Mentos and he fires it right into his own face. And then the funny thing is the band's playing with the Mentos fountains going behind him.
So funny.
Oh, it's such a great video. Oh, I love it. And so they've all got their Mentos. There's T-shirt guy.
Yeah, the guy who puts on 500 T-shirts
yeah.
or something like that. That is so funny.
And they've
funny.
Got a Mentos fountain going on behind them. There's a Star Wars laser guy. There's Leave Britney Alone. And yeah, he's singing the lyrics.
And he's not crying.
He's not crying. All your pork and beans belong to us. It's you know what, and it's a good song.
It is a really catchy song.
Miss North
song.
Carolina.
So
now they didn't get Miss South Carolina to do lip sync, did she?
I can't tell with that one. I have watched it a couple of
Wouldn't
times.
Wouldn't that be funny if they got her?
I know. I want to know more about it. I'm going to research more about it, but it's interesting. And then I started.
No, it is her.
It is her. Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
And
it
she's
is her.
Singing. And she's singing the words. That's funny.
That's awesome.
Here's Numa Numa guy.
See, Lee, I was imagining that like Jonathan Coulton or someone came out with a song and then they, you know, they did the same thing with us techies and we voiced different parts of it because I've always wanted to be a singer, but I can't sing at all.
Oh, you're just jealous because I got to play in Rock Band on stage behind him for Still Alive on the Great American Music Hall.
Super jealous.
Well, you know what? That chocolate's good. Talk about jealous.
You're mean now.
That's good.
It's just plain old mean.
I have in the studio right across from me in this room, PlayStation 3 rock band still alive, and if you tell me when you're coming up, I will get Jonathan Colton on Skype. I will get Veronica and Merlin to come up, and we'll recreate it. What do you say?
And you have chocolate? I am so there.
I didn't even need the chocolate.
I am so there. That sounds like a good plan. All right. So let's keep going with our links, because otherwise we'll be chatting forever about chocolate and pork and beans. That sounded weird. So
might
the next
be good.
Link, I know. Actually, I don't think so.
No.
The next link we want to talk about is how NASA broadcasted the Mars landing. Yes.
Did you watch it?
Nope, I just watched it afterwards. So I actually just found out about it a little bit too late.
We watched it live on Twit Live.
That's actually, I think I found out about it first on Twitter, and then people were talking about it, and I kind of missed it a little bit. But that is super cool.
Well, Mars Phoenix is on Twitter. In fact, if you followed the Phoenix on Twitter, it was twittering, "I landed. My cameras are on," which is very funny. Obviously, it's somebody. Is it? Maybe not. Anyway. This was an example of what I was talking about. We're a group event. So I put the NASA TV. I probably could rebroadcast NASA TV. I don't think they mind that. But I had NASA TV's audio up, and we were all watching it together. And that's exactly what kind of thing I'd like to do more of, that kind of thing. Isn't it exciting?
It's very exciting. Yeah, that was very cool. So I thought that was kind of a neat thing that happened in the web space. Mm-hmm. Now, the next thing that I'm going to mention is just more fun. You know what it means to be Rickrolled, right?
I don't. What does it mean to be Rickrolled? Can you explain
that? Oh, Leo.
You mean this?
Exactly.
You mean Rick Astley? We're Rickrolling the entire audience right now. You understand that?
Yes, it's a Rickroll in a podcast, so maybe that's the first time that's been done.
No, it has. It's been done before. I've done it before.
A lot. Okay, so it's been around for a while. So the idea is that people send links out to other people, and they pretend they're links to actually legitimate things. I think we've mentioned it on the show before.
Yeah.
And then they end up at this Rick Astley video, and which is kind of hilarious because it's a silly video from the 80s. And the funny thing is, this survey came out yesterday. I don't know if this is real or not, but it seems legitimate. And it's from Survey USA, and I found it on Waxy Links. And it said that at least 18 million Americans have been Rickrolled.
What? 18 million? Wait a minute. That's not so far-fetched.
I believe it, too, because that video now has so many views. And then I had this conversation with someone the other day. I said, do you think that this has helped to really, you know, Rick Astley, maybe he'll come back and he'll tour again because of getting, you know, so much promotion with this Rickrolling campaign. But I haven't heard much about him. But
I think he is touring again. No, I think he is. I think this has been the best thing that ever happened to Rick Astley, who had one hit, Never Gonna Give You Up. And now it's 13 million views of that video. But that's just one. There's a website. There's actually a nasty Rickroll site that when you go to it, you can't close it. So you're forced to listen to the song.
Ooh, that's just a little too much. That's a little too intense.
The question is, what's the next Rickroll?
I don't know.
What's the next thing?
You know, it should be a woman from the 80s. It should be like, I'm trying to think of some of the the one hit wonders. Like I don't know who it would be, but
it's better than Goatsy, because that for a while that was the thing. You'd send somebody a link and it was that awful picture. I didn't want to talk about it. But
Leo, I cannot believe you brought that up.
I just, even mentioning it puts it in your brain, and it's like being Goatsy'd all over again.
You're totally right.
But that was the first, if you think about it, that's kind of an early Rickroll, but it was so mean and nasty. In fact, I remember we were doing a twit from the Apple store, and some kids, smart kid, hijacked the Wi-Fi, and anywhere you went, you got Goatsy.
Oh, that's just wrong.
It was very wrong, and so the Apple employees immediately leapt into action. They started looking at people's screens, and you could tell there was one guy who's like hacker, because he's got he's got a terminal open, and he's doing stuff, and they pulled him right out of the store. But that was the first Rickrolling. Now, there's been other kinds of things like Rickrolling, I think. But
oh, I'm sure.
I think this is a more benign. I mean, considering what you could be, this is pretty benign. I mean, you'll have to laugh. Somebody puts a link up. Amazing pictures from Mars. The Phoenix is. Look at these pictures. You click it. It's never gonna give you up. I think that's pretty funny.
I think that's hilarious. I was just thinking. Okay, now I think who the next artist should be. It should be Tiffany. Do you remember Tiffany?
Oh boy, was she the one who started in a mall?
Oh, they all started in malls, Leo.
How can I keep up?
You started in a mall. I started in a mall.
We all started in malls.
All right. So keep it
18 million people have been Rickrolled. That's mind-boggling.
I know. Well, I don't know if you heard about Mesh, which is a big event in Toronto. It happens every year. It's a web conference, probably Canada's biggest.
Yep. And you're going to be speaking at it?
I spoke at it last week.
Oh, it's over.
Just wrapped.
Okay.
Yep, it's over now. And one of the services that was, it wasn't demo there. In fact, it was just that people were using it all over the place. And I wasn't really paying too much attention to it, although I do know the people who created it. And then it got picked up and written about on TechCrunch. It's called ScribbleLive.com. And it's an application that allows you to do live blogging. So it's like chat software. Really, really simple.
But you embed it in your blog.
Yes, exactly. And the thing about this, you don't have to download anything. It's all web-based. And I only mention it because if anyone wants to do live blogging, just from my brief experience watching people using Scribble Live, I found it very cool.
Yeah.
Really simple interface, really user-friendly. And I think that they're going to do really well. And it's only been a couple. There's, I think, two guys on the team who have been working on this kind of outside of their work, their day jobs. And they did a really nice job. It used to be called something else. I don't remember the name of it. But now it's ScribbleLive.com.
I signed up for it when I first learned about it. And what would you, first of all, explain what live blogging is so people know what you're talking about?
Well, the idea would be you would be at an event, say something like Mesh, and you would be sitting there. You signed up for an account at Scribble Live, and then you could live blog what was happening at the event. So, for instance, I was up and I was moderating a panel on the future of video online with one of the co-founders of Blip, someone from CTV, someone from CBC. And so you could talk about on the blog what I was saying and leave little comments. Oh, Amber just said this about the future of television, and she thinks Leo Laporte is the guy to watch or something like that. Just hypothetically.
Did you say that?
I wish I did. I'm saying it now, Leo. And so
you didn't think of it at the time.
I didn't, but now I know. And someone would write that on with the live blog, and it's constantly being updated. So it's like, you know, putting this conversation out there on the web in real time, and it's becoming more and more popular now than ever. And I find at events now, I'm sitting around, there's people with laptops everywhere, and they're all live blogging. And this tool seems to be one of the best that I've tried out.
You kind of, the way it works is really cool. If you have a blog, you make a post with this embedded in the post. And so people don't, you know, unlike, you know, when you're watching Gadget from a stream from a conference, you have to keep hitting refresh or something. They can just sit on the post and watch the stuff develop. And then after the fact, you've got this full thing in there of people having posted.
Exactly. And, you know, where it becomes really useful is at events, but also in the political landscape, that it's very common there where people will live blog if there's any type of voting going on. So you just get a feeling of, you know, the votes coming in and the reaction online. So I think we'll see this kind of develop down the road, and it'll be a popular way for people to communicate. And it's just fun to kind of watch it happening in real time and get someone's perspective who is sitting there in the room.
On their site, they're promoting the next kind of one that they think a lot of people will be doing will be Apple's Worldwide Developers Conference, which is just about 2 weeks off. And that's probably where Steve Jobs will announce the new iPhone. And I think absolutely, you know, it's got to hurt people like Engadget, though, because Engadget really was the place that you would go to watch these speeches. You know, now anybody can do it.
Exactly. I was thinking the same thing. I can remember just, I guess, last year when the iPhone was released, I remember going on to Engadget and they would have their updates of when they were posting, and you would see, oh, 4:14 p.m. and there would be a little post, but it didn't have that sort of real-time feel, I think, that something like this might have. And I think there'll be a lot more competition out there. Really, anyone can compete with some of the major blogs.
Right. It's very cool.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Should we do a couple more and then get our guests on here?
Yeah, actually, we'll do two more. And the next one I wanted to mention, and I know this isn't so much web-oriented, although it has been on lots of blogs, but the Wii Fit just came out. And
have you played it yet?
Yes, I have. And my brother just ordered one, and it came in a couple of days ago.
So Jeff got a Wii.
Yes.
Because I remember when the Wii came out, you were trying desperately. Your mom said, get him a Wii for Christmas.
Oh, I know. He has everything. And I'm always running around trying to find him things. But this, he actually pre-ordered the Wii Fit because I don't know what it's like down in the States, but it was actually out of stock at a lot of stores.
Right.
But he had ordered it in time in Canada and he got it delivered and I had a chance to check it out. I played the hula hoop game, the skiing game. The
Why is there no video of you doing this?
There's a reason, Leo.
I want to see video. It didn't. If no pictures, it didn't happen.
Ah, maybe one day. Well, the hula hoop game, it's so funny because you're standing on this little platform.
If I get a Wii
right?
Fit for this studio, will you do it for us?
I love hula hooping.
All right. Are you good at hula hooping?
Can you keep
the hoop up for very long?
I thought I was really good until I played the Wii Fit, and I have to tell you that it's a lot harder than it is in real life, I think, because there's something important about being able to feel the hula hoop on your hips versus just looking like an idiot in your living room.
I think I agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. But the funny thing is I went on Twitter afterwards and I noticed people complaining about their hips hurting when they were playing the Wii Fit. That didn't happen to me, but it's kind of fun. And the reason I also bring it up is that there's so many stories online about people going and registering for the Wii Fit because you create your profile and in your profile, you have to stand on the platform. It takes your weight. And then if you're a couple pounds overweight, even if you're still considered slim, it will actually tell you that you're fat. Like it'll say you're obese. Yeah, it does.
Oh, I'm not doing it then because I am fat. What's it going to say to me? It's going to say you are morbidly obese.
I don't know if it'll
How does
say
it know how much you weigh?
Because it's like a scale. So you stand on it. So, and then it measures kind of like it balance. You have to stand on the platform.
That's
so
not
it's
good.
Measuring your balance, right?
So it does know your weight. It actually knows your weight.
I think so. Let
Does
me
it
double
know
check
your
that
height?
Out. Unless you enter that in. I got to double check that right now. But anyway, so there's been lots of stories about how kids have gone on it and been told they're obese. It's not funny.
Oh,
but
well, my scale tells me I'm obese.
It does? Does
oh,
it
yeah.
talk to you?
No, it does a reading. I have a scale that measures not only weight, but body fat. And then so it does this. It's a tinnitus. I think it's a Japanese thing. I think that this is just kind of the way it is. And it goes, and then it says, you know, morbidly obese.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, yeah.
Are you serious?
Well, it's a technical definition. So yeah, I satisfy that technical definition. I'm not proud of it. But does it monitor your heart rate or anything? I mean, what does it know about you?
I'm not sure it monitors your heart rate, but what it will do is in some way it's measuring, you know, how you're moving because it's all based on this sort of balance board, right? But the thing is you can even step off the balance board and you can use the little Wii wand, you know,
the Wii
controller.
Wand, yeah.
And so if you're running in place just with that wand, it also measures how many calories you're burning when you're running in place. Although my brother and I realized that you could actually not move your feet and just move your arms really fast and it would still think you were running. That was late at night, you know.
Retro Video in our chat room says whenever I get on it, it says one at a time, please.
That's, oh, no.
Oh, ow. So ooh, burn.
I even read about it. I think it was in the UK. There were parents who were suing Nintendo because their daughter got on it and it said that she was obese and then she was all upset. And I'm
I guess a video game shouldn't really call people obese since kind of that's the nature of the game, really.
I don't know, but maybe the video game is coming to life and telling us all that, you know, hey, it's time to, you know, get off your rumps. Anyway, I'm just reading I'm on Wikipedia now, and I'm just reading that I think, in fact, it does measure the user's weight and their center of gravity and calculates their body mass index when told the user's height. And it obviously, there's lots of different things you can do, yoga, push-ups, other exercises. And it's fun, I have to say. It's kind of I enjoyed it.
We should make Veronica play it. You know, she tried to get a health insurance and the health insurance people said, we can't insure you because you're underweight.
Are you serious?
Now that's the kind of thing you go, yeah, yeah.
That is crazy. Wow.
I mean, she's skinny, but she's not, I wouldn't say she's, you know, she doesn't look like she's, you know, starving to death.
Not at all. That's
no.
bizarre.
Any excuse not to give you insurance, basically.
Well, I'm happy to live in Canada right now.
You have it,
That's
no matter
crazy.
What. That's right.
Yeah.
One more link, and then we'll get to our guests.
Oh, this is kind of a chatty topic, but I see.
Well,
I
let's save it then.
Let's save it. Because I want to talk to you. Maybe we'll talk about it next show because I know it is getting late.
No, but we got lots of time. Oh, you probably want to go play that stupid Wii Fit game.
We'll get the guests on and then we'll see.
All right. Let me call our guests here. I have to do some magic. We're going to get
Tom
and John on here. Hey, John, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, Leo.
Oh, we're glad to have you. Welcome to Net at Night. And Tom is also on. Hi, Tom.
Hello, Leo. How are you?
Good. So you both are founders of Intense Debate. Are you kind of co-founders?
We are two of three founders.
And so tell us a little bit about the genesis of this.
Well, it all kind of started with a one-on-one real-time debate engine. It was kind of
what an interesting idea. So I could say, I want to debate Amber on something, and then could people watch that?
Yeah, the idea was that it would be like an IM conversation, five statements each, and it's all in real time. Other people could watch it and then comment on the debates afterwards.
I like that idea.
Cool. We needed that, Leo, when we were having our LCD versus plasma debate.
Perfect. So what happened to that idea?
Well, we started on that. We built the whole project out, and then we started into TechStars, which is kind of like an incubator for startups, and they have a lot of mentors come in and kind of mentor you on stuff. And they pointed out a lot of problems with that model that we would end up facing, which is the primary one is it's really hard to find two people that want to debate the same thing at the same time.
Right.
And so we figured it wouldn't really scale out that well. So we started talking about other projects that we had considered. And one of the things that we had talked about was, you know, a lot of debates happen in blog comments, but it's really a very bad forum for doing that. The comment systems in general are
really is.
It's not built for that.
No, they're very linear. You can't always see what somebody's responding to. They're not threaded. You're absolutely right. I mean, but that's where flame wars often take off.
Exactly. And so that's kind of where it started was we figured, well, I mean, a lot of debates happen there. Let's try to capitalize on that and make that, you know, a better experience for the users. And that's how we kind of ended up down this road.
But just out of curiosity, because the name is still Intense Debate, but you're doing more commenting. Is there any confusion about what exactly you guys do? Because that's initially what I thought when I went to the site.
Not really. I mean, we've had some questions about where the name came from because it doesn't really tie as well as it used to, but I think the name's still applicable just because, you know, there are a lot of intense discussions and stuff happening in comments everywhere, so.
Yeah, I think that's appropriate. So, we interviewed the founder of Discuss last week, and we thought it'd be of equal time to get you guys on. Discuss is a platform I'm a little more familiar with because I've been using it on my WordPress blog. Tell me, first of all, how I would add Intense Debate to my existing blog.
We have a WordPress plugin, so you just drop it in, turn it on, and then it'll replace the comments on your blog that you have now. You can either set it so that it'll replace posts that don't have existing comments, or we have an importer where you can actually take all your existing comments, pull them into Intense Debate, and then replace it on all posts so you see Intense Debate on every post that you
Ooh.
Have.
Now, see, I like that. I can't yet do that with Discuss. They keep promising that. It must be a hard thing to do. So if I decide to turn on Intense Debate, I could just import all my comments, and all of a sudden, I've got posts going back to 2001. Now they're all enlivened with Intense Debate.
Correct.
Oh,
and we also
like
allow
that.
You to go the other way. So let's say that, you know, you get a little nervous about having all your comments hosted on a third party. You can at any point export your comments back into your WordPress blog.
That's very important. It's something that one of the reasons I didn't use a system like this is the same reason I left Vox, Amber, is because I didn't like the idea of somebody else owning my, you know, having my content.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that I could then get it back from them is really important.
Right, and what we're working on now is the ability to sync it automatically, so you don't have to do the import, you don't have to do the export, it'll just automatically always be synced between the two systems.
Oh, I like that.
What are some other features that people might find on Intense Debate that maybe aren't on some of the other services out there?
One of the things we're rolling out tonight is a feature so that you can add in your Twitter account information, and then not only can you have in your profile the latest tweet that you've made. We already have that. So you mouse over user in Intense Debate and you can see the latest tweet that they've made. But we're also adding in so that you can have it automatically post to Twitter, like, hey, I commented on this blog somewhere.
That's a smart idea.
You can drive traffic to all the comments you're making because a lot of people really value their comments. They're making longer and longer comments. They're well thought out. They're almost a blog post, you know.
So, well, that's what's happening. I kind of likened it to horizontal and vertical. Until recently, you know, you have a blog, you'd write a post, and then people would comment on your post, but it's very vertical. There's no integration of their comments with anything else. If people want to see your, you know, if you're a great commenter, they have to go to that post, scroll down, and there you are. And what systems like Intense Debate do is they make it more horizontal, where now I can follow one person. It's almost exactly as you say. It's like his blog. You could follow his comments on multiple different blogs.
Exactly.
I love that idea. How many people are using Intense Debate?
We get about 100,000 unique visitors a day.
Wow, that's great.
Oh, that's amazing. It's interesting. I'm on your website right now, and I'm reading the FAQs, and it says that readers are more likely to comment with a user-friendly system. Is that something you guys think is really important? And obviously, everybody wants a usable website, but I've never thought that people aren't commenting because it's hard to do. So is that a focus for you guys?
It actually is a focus. We spend a lot of time developing our user interface because we've seen that improvements in that drive increased commenting. And we're all about increasing the page views for publishers. And that's also part of the reason why we are rolling out our Twitter integration tonight, is because we think that will drive more people back to the blogs to make more comments.
So
I would also add that if you have a user account, I mean, you're already logged in, so you don't have to fill in your name and your email and your URL with every comment you make. All you have to do is type your comment. So it's a much less tedious process to leave a comment on a blog.
Yeah, because you're logged in, you have an account. Let me ask, from the point of view of the blogger, the guy who owns the site, what does it look like to administer an Intense Debate comments? Can I reprove comments? Is there spam filtering? Because that's a big problem on blogs these days.
Well, you have a lot of the same basic moderation ideas. You know, you can whitelist or blacklist certain keywords, or you can say if it has more than X links in the comment to automatically queue moderation for that comment. We're working on integrating some of the other spam systems like Akismet to address that. It's not really a major issue like right this moment, but we know that spam is a really important thing for the publisher, and so we are looking at a lot of different options to help with dealing with that issue.
One thing that's kind of neat is on your homepage, you mentioned that you can just copy the code into your blog that you offer up here just to sample it, so you can actually test it out before you...
Oh, I like that.
...further.
Exactly. I mean, one of the things that we faced when we first started doing this was people were kind of hesitant as to what am I really getting into if I decide to use your system. And so we figured what better way to, you know, sort of take away that fear than to just let them play with it, see what they get a little bit ahead of time, so...
All right, guys, you convinced me. Well, a couple of things I'm very interested in with this. One, of course, Twitter is always a big plus for me, Twitter integration. But I like the idea of being able to turn it on previous comments, because it's kind of a discontinuity. You're commenting on earlier posts and all of a sudden everything's changed. And I like that idea that I can now make the whole site be Intense Debate. And I really like the idea of being able to play with it before I install it, because you don't know what's going to happen when you turn this thing on, do you?
Exactly. We get a lot of people that say that.
So as for the future, what are some other things that you guys might be rolling out that you think will really make an impact on the blogging world and people who find commenting so useful as it is?
Well, one of the things that we're really working on is making that data portability seamless. So being able to sync back and forth from the blog to our system on multiple different platforms. Another area we're really pushing on is integrating other social services. So, you know, being able to pull in your comments from other sites like Dig or Flickr, or, you know, other information like tweets you've made, and just really building out that concept so that you as a personality are leaving a comment and not just, you know, you as a URL.
I think it's really important. I encourage, you know, people say, oh, I want to create a, I want to be successful online. I want to promote myself. I want to get people to know me. I don't have a blog yet, or nobody reads my blog. You know, how do I get people to go to my blog? And often one of the things I say is be a good, creative, interesting commenter on other people's blogs. It's a great way to build an audience, build a following, draw people to your blog. And this, something like this makes it much easier for somebody to develop a following, even if they don't have a blog.
I totally agree. Yeah.
So how long ago did you create this?
We sort of made the transition from the old debate platform to this at the beginning of last summer. So it's been about a year now that we've been working on this.
And how are you going to make any money at it?
I was just going to ask that.
It's kind of the requisite. It's unfortunate, but it is the requisite question. And you look at a platform like this, which is very beautiful, very slick. I don't know exactly what you do to monetize it.
It's pretty clear there's a lot of value that's being created here. There's a page view lift. There's publishers learning a lot more about their demographics of who's visiting their sites.
Right.
And that will lead, first of all, we're focused on product features, finding product market fit, and all of our resources are going into that. But with the value creation that's quite evident, there's a lot of ways that can be monetized in the future. It's easy to imagine a premium model, for instance, and all the other standard kind of Web 2.0 ways that people eventually make money. But for right now, we're all about developing the product.
Right, right. Well, I wish you the best. I think, I'm trying to sign up right now, and I think I've screwed it up because I used OpenID, and I think I created a username that's invalid, but it won't let me. Anyway, I'll figure out a way to do this, and I will definitely... I will definitely. If it's possible to screw it up, I will. I'm a good test subject for you guys.
You should charge for that, Leo.
I really should. I broke it, but I will try this on my blog because I'm very interested. You know, I discuss and Intense Debate are similar in many ways, and I really do like the idea behind both of these of making your users a community. That's what this whole thing is about. That's what Web 2.0 is about, and giving them a chance to have that community grow beyond just what you're doing. Is I think very, very cool. You've stumbled, whether intentionally or not, I think you've stumbled on something that is very right on and very forward looking, I think.
Yeah, I think both companies are right in a sweet spot of a very exploding market.
Right.
And it's good to have a worthy competitor.
Great.
That
pushes
great.
Us both, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And at some point I think it would be important. Well, you want competition, but at the same time, this is always a trick in computing. You want competition, but at the same time you want a compatible platforms. Do you think it's possible at some point that there'd be ways to integrate? So if I comment on, if I'm a Intense Debate user and Amber is a Discuss user, is it possible for us to somehow, interleave our, what we're doing so that there's commonality there, maybe with RSS, something like that? You guys have an API?
Yes, we do.
And that might be the way to do it.
Yeah. And I think different companies are exploring different things. We certainly are. I think in a short time, maybe a year or less, there will have to be very tight integration because the commenters will demand it.
Yes, that's right. We don't want to be in a silo. I don't want to be that's just right. Discuss or just Intense Debate. I want to be part of the overall community.
And that's the whole value proposition that we're all chasing. So
right,
we have
right.
to figure out how to do that.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a way. Tom and John, great to talk to you.
Thank you guys very much for having us.
Really appreciate it. IntenseDebate.com. And I'll make you guys a deal. I've been using Discuss, and I'll install Intense Debate now and use that for a little while, and then I'll let my users choose which one they like better. How about that?
That's great.
Sounds great. We'd love to have you.
Fair deal. All right. As soon as I can figure out how to get my OpenID working.
Oh, no, Leo. It's okay, Leo, that you break things.
You know, it's part of the fun of being a beta user.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay.
Are you going to use one of these on your site?
Yes. I think I'm going to, I was going to try Discuss, actually. I really want to use it on the Command N website, and that would be the number one thing I want to do. But we're making some changes to the site next month, so I'm just kind of waiting to roll out a bunch of things at once.
Good.
I definitely want to try it out. I think it's really important, and the comments are just critical to any type of community online.
See, and I know my users are going to say, oh, well, I signed up for Discuss. And now I've got a presence on Discuss, and now you're saying you're going to use Intense Debate. It's going to piss them off.
I know. That's a problem.
There needs to be some way to kind of unite these things so that, they don't have to start over. I mean, I guess you choose one at some point. You have to choose and just leave it and not mess with it. But, I like it.
Leo, right. you have to commit, Leo.
I can't commit.
I'm noticing.
I'm already thinking of leaving Twitter again.
I know. I saw some of your comments.
Well, I'm actually not thinking about leaving it, but no, first of all, Twitter's been just appallingly bad for the last 2 weeks. They're struggling mightily.
I know.
And not just downtime, but they've for most of the last 2 weeks have had features turned off, including IM and pagination because they just can't, their database is just broke. And I asked, I put a post, and it wasn't facetious. I said, Ev, I Twittered this morning, if you want me to get off Twitter, if it's the big guys, see, it's, I think one of the problems with a site like Twitter is if there's somebody like me with, or Kevin Rose or Jason Calacanis or Barack Obama, who every time we post, you have to update, you know, 40,000 people. That's a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
And I imagine that if a bunch of, you know, the top 10 Twitterers are active all at the same time, that's really challenging. I may be wrong. I'm just imagining that. So I said to Ev, you know, if it would be better if I left, let me know and I will. He hasn't responded. But the problem is the same thing happens to Jaiku and Pounce.
I would say Facebook. I mean, Leo, I still can't add any new friends on Facebook, and I'm you know, I have less than 5,000 people on there, so I don't know what the issue is. But every single time I go to friend request, it takes like, I'd say 2 minutes to load up, and then it says this page cannot be found. So I can't even, I find Facebook just dreadfully slow.
Well, MySpace was like that too. Remember MySpace? Half the time the server would respond with, I don't know what you're doing.
I know. And it's so funny because you take it for granted. You think some of these sites out there that are getting so much press and so much attention that, you know, they're going to be really super fast and easy to use. And yet so many of them still cannot manage the amount of people on them.
Well, you know, I want Twitter to succeed. I think there are better platforms. I think Jaiku was better. I thought so when I left Twitter for Jaiku. But the reason people use one site over the other is not for fun, not because it's better, but because that's where everybody else is. That's where their friends are. And so you stick with Facebook or MySpace if your friends stick with Facebook or MySpace or Twitter. And so there has been a move afoot. There was a Twitter boycott day, which, of course, did nothing because it's, believe me, you don't need incentive. Ev and Biz to get the thing fixed. They know it's broken. They want to fix it more than you do. Of course, Molly Wood and Tom Merritt on Buzz Out Loud have now created a contest to make a better Twitter. And she asked me, she said, if we make this, would you make a commitment to be there for 30 days? I said, absolutely. It doesn't mean I'd leave Twitter, but I would post there for 30 days hoping to help jumpstart it or at least to challenge it. But it never really gets challenged until everybody moves over there. So
exactly.
It's very frustrating, and I'm thinking, maybe I'll use some other platform. Maybe I'll do something else.
I know, but you know, it's tempting just to stay there because I don't know about you, but I even find there are friends of mine who I would never think in a million years would join Twitter, and then I'll get messages from them. Like there's one person in particular who's an editor at City TV that I can't even believe that he's on Twitter, and he joined, and I just got a message from him, and it just goes to show you that it's, you know, it's becoming so popular that the community is.
Well, that's what's breaking just, it, isn't it? When it was just
it
us,
really
it wasn't broken so much. Well, you know what? Twitter's always been broken.
I kind of like that it's broken. I don't know why.
I don't mind either. It's our little, you know, a little bird with a broken wing that we, you know, you kind of nurse back to life and you hope it makes it. And you know.
Yeah, it makes it more desirable. Maybe they're breaking it on purpose.
They're certainly the underdog. You certainly feel for them, don't you?
Yeah, it's the demand. Okay, Leo. So actually, this is a good, remember before we did the interview, I wanted to bring something up.
Yes.
This is a good time. All right. So just because we're talking about the web and usability, I'm just curious because I was reading on TechCrunch about this service called CoverFlow for your tech news. And sorry, it's Flow, F-L-O-W-W-W.
Just so Apple doesn't sue them. I don't think it's going to work, guys. I think they can tell it's the same word.
I know. And there's search engines out there too, like searchme.com. And they all use the CoverFlow-like way of browsing through content.
So this is what's in iTunes where... In CoverFlow, you have the album cover, and then you can it's almost like you're browsing through a physical stack of albums where you flip it and you go to the next and the next and the next like that, right?
Exactly. It's like flipping through a bunch of artwork for albums. And a lot of people are incorporating this into general search sites and different ways to browse content. And I'm just curious because I've worked on some projects in the past where people are trying to come up with different ways to display content on the web. And I know there was a lot of comments on this TechCrunch article that people do not think that CoverFlow is a good way to actually browse.
So what's the idea?
News.
How does it work?
So you would have an article of news on a page that imagine that's the same as an album cover, for example,
right.
And then you just kind of flip through all of it. But I was just curious what your take is on it.
I'm looking at it right now. I mean, it's very pretty because it's that same CoverFlow metaphor. But the problem is every time my temptation is to grab it and slide it. But when I do that, it opens the page. So they've already got a UI problem because you have to use this scroll bar at the bottom of the page to do what is much more naturally done by grabbing and throwing. How does it choose what's here?
Well, in this, I think it's an RSS feed, and that I think that's the
but
way that the flow site's working. I think you can determine your own. I'm not exactly sure about that, but the idea is more that, services like searchme.com, for example, is like a search engine where you can get your search results and displayed in a cover flow like way. But I'm just curious, because I always wonder, are there new ways that people are going to adopt in terms of how to navigate through different parts of pieces of content?
Well, I think, frankly, this is the job of your newsreader. And I don't think there's anything wrong with this metaphor. And I think it would make sense to have a newsreader that worked this way. In fact, there's a very good one on the Mac that has, I think, a nice new kind of metaphor. I've mentioned it as a pick on MacBreak Weekly. Take a look at something called Times.
Okay.
And since you're a Mac user, you can get it from Acrylic Software. And it's not free, but it's free to try. It's $30 to use. It's a newsreader that looks more like a newspaper.
Okay.
And so it gives you tabs at the top that are your kind of categories, you know, technology, science, entertainment, sports. And then it builds a page. And to me, this is what I always thought RSS was about, was kind of making your own newspaper. So it builds a page based on your RSS feeds. Now, it comes with some dummy RSS feeds, but I added my OPML, which, of course, immediately choked it and crashes all the time now. But when you click on a story, it does something interesting. It slides. First of all, it looks like a newspaper. You've got pages, right? And it slides the front page down so you can read the story. And then you click on it again, and it slides it back up. You can go to the web, but you kind of read within the program. You can bookmark it on Delicious, although it doesn't have a great interface for Delicious. That's one thing I didn't like about it. It doesn't have any Apple scripting. It's new. You know,
it's
first generation, but it's very pretty. And what it brings to mind is that there are other metaphors for scanning information. I just don't know if Flow, well, it's not very well implemented for one thing. I mean, obviously it's more of a concept.
Oftentimes with that type of layout too, it tends to be slow. That's what I find a lot is that just can't be programmed in a way that it's really, really quick, which is, I think, what you want out of any type of search site or browsing through information.
Yeah. It's slow and clunky. It's pretty, but as soon as you try to actually use it, it's not very usable.
Exactly.
But there's no reason why this metaphor couldn't be applied to, say, a desktop program. I think I don't think it's a bad idea. Look at Times. If you want to look at another way of doing news reading, I think Times is actually very close to the way it should be. One of the things that comes up, though, with Times, and I probably comes up with Flow, too, is many sites don't give you the full story. They give, their feed is one line, and I find that very frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really frustrating. It looks like a very pretty app. I'm going to download it later for sure.
I think you'll like it. It's a more natural way of reading news.
Very cool. I had to just pick your brain on that, Leo.
What do you think? Now that I've said, you could say what you think.
I think it should be perhaps an option as far as one of a couple of different ways to browse through content. I don't think that everybody likes to browse through content the same way. So if you're going to go to something as extreme as a cover flow like implementation, that it should be, just an option of a layout, not necessarily the default, because I don't think that it works for everything. I think at the end of the day, just having really a simple, clean way to get through information is the best way to do it. And no fancy graphics or anything will really make up for just a nice layout on a page.
So Flow is really something from slideshare.com. And it's just an alternative way of looking at it, I guess. Yes. No, maybe not. Maybe I'm looking at the link you sent me. It was from SlideShare, but Flow is its own thing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So. Yeah.
What's SlideShare? This is kind of interesting.
I do know what
that
is, but I don't know how you got there. I actually do know what it is, but
it's the best way to share your presentations with the world. Oh, you showed us this on Call for Help, I think. The idea is you put your PowerPoints up here and you can share them.
Oh, yeah.
With the world.
But, oh, Leo, you know what it's like. You can't remember anything anymore. After all the links you go through.
I see too much. I have seen too much with these eyes.
Too much. Mm-hmm. So that's it for my links, but we do have to do our Audible pick.
Oh, I was going to do it before we did the thing, and then I got distracted. by Flow.
I'm here for you.
Flow is good. Audible.com, that's our sponsor, of course, and they're the folks who make this show possible. We invite you, if you haven't yet subscribed to Audible, to have joined Audible, to do it. To do it, because Audible is so great. Audible.com/Knight, N-I-G-H-T. When you sign up there, by the way, you get a credit toward a free book. So we always like to talk about free books. Before I do that, though, they've just started something new that I think is really cool as a gift center. So if you're an Audible fanatic, as I am, and I'm trying to turn Amber on, I can now buy her an audiobook and send it to her. So she doesn't even have to join Audible.com. They have gift certificates, gift memberships. I was going to do this for my mom because she loves audiobooks. You can even get a gift, an MP3 player for yourself when you buy a gift certificate. You'll get $50 off a Nano or a Creative Zen, which is kind of cool.
Awesome.
I just like the idea of being able to, you know, if you're somebody you like and you've just read a great book, doesn't this happen to you when you read a book? You go, oh, I've got to give this to Amber. It happens to me all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I've got to tell Amber about this. Now you can just send them the audiobook.
That's very
cool. Isn't that a great idea?
It's like that book, Born Standing Up by Steve Martin. We talked about it. It was funny because I tried to get someone to download it from Audible. I said, oh, you have to download it. But he's like, I already have it and I have the book. Or you know when you find someone, you're like, you have to read this. You would be perfect for this. And they've already read it. Yeah, that happens to me.
Yeah. So I think this is a very cool way to share your Audible. Now, you have to be an Audible member to send these, okay? So that's why you probably want to go right now to audible.com/Knight and sign up for Audible. The other thing I love about Audible is, and this is something they've really evolved over time, they're turning into a bookstore. You know, the thing I love about going into a bookstore is browsing, looking for stuff. And a good bookstore makes it fun and easy and interesting to find new books. Well, and sometimes people complain about the web that it's not as nice as a bookstore. Let me tell you, go to audible.com. The ability to browse through books, they have all these different categories and ways to browse. Almost every day there's a new feature. Today, for instance, they have Happy Birthday Ian Fleming. I talked about this on Security Now, where it's the guy who created James Bond's birthday. So they have all of the James Bond novels, and they're so good on. They have a customer favorites month by month. They also have lists. Award winners, bestsellers, new releases. There's also a list of things like Oprah's books. If you're an Oprah Books Club fan, you could find the Oprah Book Club's downloads or the Today Show book clubs. And so it makes it very easy to find another book, a book to listen to. All right, I'm going to pick something for you, Amber.
Oh,
I'm trying to think
you.
Of something. Have you ever read? Oh, I loved this. Did you see the movie The Prestige?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's such a good movie. But before I saw the movie, and I like to do this, I read the book, and I cannot recommend this book more highly. It's called The Prestige. It's by Christopher Priest. Let me tell you the story. It's about magic, magicians, and a rivalry between two magicians, a lifelong rivalry between them that ends with one of the most surprising twists you've ever seen. It is just a beautiful book, very well written, because it's the two magicians write the book. So you read the diary of one, and it gets more and more of a mystery as time goes by. I really enjoyed it. It's called The Prestige. It takes place both in Victorian England and modern times as the descendants of these magicians kind of unravel the story. Highly recommend. Let me play a little bit of it. It's read by Simon Vance, who is one of my favorite readers. In fact, I played some Simon Vance earlier today.
I have no idea why this was done, or where my brother might be, but I have always assumed that he was adopted at the same time as me. I only started to suspect his existence when I was entering my teens. By chance, I came across a passage in a book, an adventure story, that described the way in which many pairs of twins are linked by an inexplicable, apparently psychic contact.
Oh, I just love this book.
Nice.
It brings it all back. I forgot all about it. Oh, you're going to like this. The Prestige by Christopher Priest. Tell you what, I'll send it to you as a gift. I'll use this new gift capability. Do you ever do audiobooks?
Not so much. I just don't. I don't know what it is. I think that part of it is just that I don't find myself in one place long enough to really.
You know when you're going to use this? You're going to use this on the plane. You're doing a lot more flying. I know
that's true.
You're a little bit of a jittery flyer. You have to fly a lot and you don't like it. What better way to fly than distract yourself? So what I want you to do, I want you to get some good in-ear headphones that you can't hear all the noise, right?
Yep.
And I want you to get these books, and I'm going to send it to you, and you're going to put it on the thing, and you're going to put it in, and you're going to start listening. The flight will be over before you know it. In fact, you'll be the last person off the plane because you won't be able to get off. You'll say, but I'm not done yet.
The book hasn't finished.
Can we go to Malaysia? I have more to listen to.
Onward, pilot.
On. I'm not kidding. This is going to change your relationship with flying. You're going to actually look forward to it. And that's what's great about Audible. Whether you're driving, flying, working out, working in the garden, anytime you can't read but you want to read, Audible is a great place to go. Audible.com/night. Our recommendation today is The Prestige by Christopher Priest. It is a great spooky, scary novel. If you saw the movie, you already know the twist, but you're really going to want to read the book because it develops in a very different way than the movie, and I think it's really very exciting. Such a good book. Oh, I love this book. Winner of the World Fantasy Award in 1996 as an Audi Award finalist for Best Audiobook in 2007. Just really well done audiobook. Audible.com/night. Yeah, good. Let me send that to you right now. Now that they have this new gift certificate thing, that's really cool. I could just send it to you via your email. Buy an audiobook for a friend. It's now a link on the. Oh, that's cool. They've added it. So when I'm browsing at books for myself, if I see something cool, oh yeah, buy for a friend. They've added that. Okay, let me press that. And I hope I can buy this for you without having to join Audible. But maybe not. That may be too much to ask. But you can join it for free. Just go to audible.com/night. Amber, we've gone way over time.
I know. It happens. It happens to us a lot.
I like to talk to you so much. I don't want to let you go. And now that I know that you're not coming up next week.
It's so sad. I know it got postponed, but you know what? I will be there soon enough. And next week, I will, like I said, I'll be back in the studio and I'll have my lights and camera all set up and you'll have the TriCaster all ready and we'll do a fun show, I'm sure.
It'll be a lot of fun. And we'll be back next week with a regular audio edition. And you. And pictures. And then when are you going to come up here?
Sorry, why are you talking like that?
Because I'm distracted because I'm trying to buy you a book. And I had a little too much chocolate.
I am coming.
I'm coming.
Whenever I get a chance. Hopefully in a few weeks.
This is I'm eating the Akumare. Grand Cru Dark Chocolate Chocolate. No, but
I just felt like I lost Leo for a second. Everybody,
you
entered,
did. I was,
so you know,
I was going to another place.
He got distracted.
This is lot number 3464.
This is usually a good time to wrap up when you can hear Leo eating chocolate. Mm-hmm.
What did you say? I am Leo Laporte from the Bay Area.
Oh, and I'm Amber MacArthur from Charlotte.
We'll see you next time. Ned and Mike, go play with your twins, Amber.